Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden Draven. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things as we get you to your weekend. It's Friday. It's game week.
There's a game this week?
Yeah, Titans Steelers.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Titans Steelers, then a situation. Well, you know what? No, Tennessee plays two this weekend. And they're probably going to get their ass kicked. I think that's
play is a strong word.
I think it's
show up.
I think it's important to point out that yeah, they play. I'm like they play on Saturday, and they're probably going to get their ass kicked. That streak of that points per game, that streak of Tennessee versus their big three rivals, it's going to continue to get another L, probably, most likely 99%, and chances are it'll probably be by. You know, a score in the 20s or 30s or 40s. A margin of victory in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Yeah, that's going to happen. With that being said, how are we today, Hayden? Thumbs up. Cameron?
I think I'm doing better than half the room. I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to this weekend of sports and
the audience didn't get the joke. The joke is Draven and I both have sprained ankles from basketball last night. Draven and I both have sprained ankles from basketball last night. I have ice on mine. He does not have ice on his. To be young and invincible. How are you feeling, Draven? You all right?
I mean, other than...
You embarrass me.
Two straight people
from the show I've brought that have embarrassed me.
Oh, was that my fault?
I mean, you got hurt.
Well, first of all.
You played one play, and then you were on the ground in pain.
A little ironic. I play one play and get taken out. The new guy looked pretty good. I kind of feel like okay. I kind of feel like maybe a little bit of a dirty play. Not trying to say Zaza Pachulia or anything.
Oh, they put the hit out.
You
on.
Know, I did come down and my foot happened to be underneath me. Kind of felt purposefully, but whatever. No big deal. Stuff happens. But
can you? Well, first of all, you said it was the very first play. So how can you explain that you look really good and get hurt in one play? How does that line
the warm-ups,
up?
Warm-ups.
Okay.
Layup
stroke it.
Yeah. Okay.
Looked pretty impressive.
Wow, this guy can make a layup.
Had to take me out. I guess that's the only way they could.
Please tell me you weren't wearing your Dak Prescott jersey.
I was not.
No, he
okay.
wasn't.
Okay.
People have made the Dak Prescott comparisons. Not me. I haven't done that. But many people have made the Dak Prescott comparisons that he was on the ground screaming in pain just like Dak Prescott. Have not been the one that has said that. It has not been me. But many people have said, oh, fitting. This guy talks about the Cowboys all the time, and here he is like exactly like Dak Prescott. I hope you're okay.
I was not on the ground screaming. Do not blow this out of proportion. How did you sprain your ankle, John?
I didn't say it.
How did you sprain your ankle?
Well, I really think it was like maybe a really think it might have been like a an effect of like me feeling bad for you. It took the air out of my sails. I was kind of like, oh, man, because I thought you were really hurt. I thought you like tore your Achilles or like tore all the ligaments in your foot the way you were acting. So I was, you know, you see it all the time in sports when somebody gets hurt. You know, it takes a little bit for the game to get back going. And next time down the court, you know, they're setting screens on me because, like I said, Draymond Green, you can't get by. So they got screens coming at me one way, another screen coming the other way. I'm trying to fight through them. Next thing I know, my foot hits another person's foot, and I just hear a pop. And I said, oh, notice the difference in, you know, how the injury is announced. And I said, oh, well, I'm out. So then I went, and I sat for 10 or 15 minutes. But then my team was in a close game, and I was out there doing some tests. Like, okay, I'm good enough to go. So I got back out there, led my team to victory. We went 3-1 on the night, not to brag. Did hit the game winner in game one, not to brag. And then, you know, by the game 4, I was like, you know what? This ankle is done for. So I opted out an hour early, and I went home and tried to ice it, and it's still swollen up too. But such is life when ball is life, you know? Will you just at least tell Hayden that, you know, the Draymond Green comparison was pretty accurate and that I looked like a good teammate and I was out there doing all the things I said I was going to do? Can you at least say that for me?
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Like I said, I'd say an A-minus, 2K teammate grade.
Okay,
A-minus.
Good.
Yeah. That's pretty solid.
Yeah, you saw some dimes.
Game winner, a couple assists. Yeah. Had a couple assists taken away from me. A
couple threes. You know, the shots created were pretty good.
Not bad.
And like I said, game winner, not to brag. So really, you know, the ankle is swollen, but so is my heart and so is my pride since Draven has told everyone, especially Hayden, that I am a good teammate. Got everybody involved.
Maybe I just got you on a bad knot that night then.
Maybe you just brought the bad out of me. Maybe that's it.
It wasn't just me you were yelling at.
Maybe it was just you that put me in a bad mood, but I'm glad my honor and my reputation has been restored.
So it sounds like my performance was better than Draven's.
I didn't have much of a chance here.
Well, the best ability is availability.
The best ability is availability. So I do have to give Hayden, although you weren't there last night, so you were zero available.
That's true.
Drayton's been invited 1 week and came 1 week. You've been invited.
He's been invited more than one.
No,
week.
I don't think he has. We didn't like actually hammer it down where I was like, hey, you should come. I just said, hey, you can come if you want. But last night I was like, hey, you should come. So he came. So like, you know, just you're 1 for 10. Draven's 1 for 1. Now, granted, he got hurt, but I'm not putting that in his power. It was a fluke play or a dirty play. People are asking.
Yeah. Very questionable.
Made it home just in time for the Giants-Eagles, which I got to say, it was a stupid game, but it was kind of a fun game.
Yeah.
It was stupid but fun. We now have a new first-place team in the NFC East. How do you feel, Cowboys fans?
Good. Take it. Take the division, Philly. I want you to. I want you to take this sorry division and go win it.
These
Congrats.
Teams are just all so bad. And I guess Carson Wentz is the most talented quarterback in that division by default. But, man, he made some really, really dumb throws.
Yeah.
He made some really stupid throws. One that got picked in the end zone, that was awful. Another that could have easily been a pick six, where he's rolling to the right backwards and then throws it up across the field for an incompletion. But I'm just like, what are you doing? Are you brain dead? Do you have a concussion? And the Giants get an 11-point lead. And you're like, okay, that's over. 11-point lead, mm-hmm. 6 minutes left. And the next thing you know, the Eagles score within like a minute and a half, right down the field. And then Evan Engram. Please don't talk to me about Evan Engram anymore.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Ooh. I've been waiting for 4 years for Evan Engram to be good at football. He gets a open pass on 3rd and 6. Now, was it a perfect throw like Buck and Aikman were saying? Nah, it probably wasn't perfect, but it was pretty damn good, all things considered. And it hit off his hands. Sure, he had to reach out a little bit further, but you got to make that catch, and he dropped it, and then they punted, and next thing you knew, game was over. Despicable.
Oh, boy. It's insane that that game was for a division lead. That's...
I mean, the Eagles, Jeez. Yeah, the Eagles should have been 1-5-1.
Yeah.
They were staring down the barrel of 1-5-1, but instead were able to snatch that victory.
Nice catch by Boston Scott for the win.
Though. Oh, it was a great catch by Boston Scott. Why was Jabril Peppers a thing again? Why do we care about Jabril Peppers?
That's a good question.
I feel like we know a lot about Jabril Peppers for him to not be very good at football. Like, how you let a little running back like that do that to you out of the backfield?
Yeah.
Pitiful.
He was just such a, like, you know, he played both ways at Michigan and was such a good, like, athlete at the combine. Everybody was like, oh, this guy's
He played both ways or he just returned punts? Like,
They put him in offense some. They
a couple
used
snaps.
Him on, they used him in offense, yeah. So he
treated him like he was Charles Woodson.
Yeah, he played a little bit everywhere. So people were like, oh, look at his versatility. And then he went to the combine and you see, like, his speed and stuff. And it was like, oh, look at this guy's athleticism. And then, yeah, he gets to the pros and you're like, oh, look at Boston Scott. Make a game-winning catch on him.
On first and goal from the 18.
Yeah.
Like Jabril Peppers fell for the short dump down pass on first and goal from the 18 with like 40 seconds left, 50 seconds left.
Jeez.
Maybe guard that wheel route, bro. Maybe guard that.
Tad better. You know, he could have stood on the edge of the end zone and stopped that. But
it was a fitting ending. And then, of course, Daniel Jones fumbles because Daniel Jones always fumbles.
Yeah. I was surprised he didn't fumble on that face plant.
I would have bet any amount of money that he was going to fumble on that last drive. I was just surprised that the Eagles did not pick it up and run in for a touchdown.
And cover the spread.
And cover the spread because everyone knew. I was texting Team Haven over here,
mm-hmm.
and I was saying, here comes the Daniel Jones fumble. And sure enough, it was. Luckily for them, well, luckily for the people who backed the Giants, which, by the way, told you, Draven. I told you that the Eagles are stupid and they're going to win a dumb game and just never take them to cover because they're a dumb football team. And at what point did you realize they were a dumb football team last night?
I mean, I don't know if it was the stupid interception. Like, I don't know what the hell Carson Wentz was doing on that interception, man. It wasn't even close. It looked like he was trying to throw it to, who was it, Bradbury?
That was awful. That was awful.
I mean, I was like,
I thought he was trying to throw it away and then just didn't get it. And I was like, no, there's a receiver down there. He's trying to just throw a jump ball.
Like, what is he doing? To Folgum? You got to throw a jump ball to Folgum? Like, good luck, man. Horrible. But I think what
I'd rather throw the Folgum. Well, you say that, but there are other plays where jump ball to DeSean Jackson, which was stupid. And then on fourth and goal, they throw a jump ball to, like, their fifth string wide receiver slash, like, hybrid tight end. And that was incomplete. So, like, maybe the jump ball to Folgum is their best option.
Maybe.
Outside of, hey, jump ball to Boston Scott. Maybe throw a jump ball to Boston Scott because apparently he can catch.
He's the best player.
Yeah. So at what point did you like, oh, man, I should have listened to John. I should not have backed this stupid Eagles team.
Probably Daniel Jones is ridiculous. Probably the most embarrassing 20-plus yard run in NFL history, was it not?
My man went 80 yards and still got clowned.
Like, how? How do you not just run straight right there?
No,
like,
dude,
oh, yeah,
he's just running.
But when they saw the replay, you could tell, like, he's gassing out.
Yeah, but jeez.
You see it in his eyes. He's gassing out. And he sees it in his face like, oh, no, I'm about to blow a tire.
He blew one.
And he blew a tire. Blew one. And like you said, Cam, I was just impressed that he didn't fumble.
Yeah.
Because he always
fumbles. That's exactly what I was expecting. I was expecting him to just face plant, drop the ball, Eagles pick it up.
And then I think a lot of people would have bet a lot of money that they would not have scored a touchdown on that drive just because it would be such a Giants thing. But they were able to do it.
Yeah, I was surprised they actually finished that drive for sure.
They were able to get him a touchdown, and then, you know, the Giants were in control of that game and probably felt like, hey, we're going from 0-5 to, like, wow, we might be first place in the division in, like, 6 days, 5 days. And you're like, wow, what a turnaround. Nope. They blew it. They lost. They choked. They suck. The Giants, man. We talk a lot about how bad the Jets are, but the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants have been really bad for a long time. Did you know that the New York Giants have the worst record in the NFL since 2017? And it's not particularly close. Second place, I believe, is the Cleveland Browns, who are 17-36 and have a 0-16 season in there. So the Giants are four games worse than them. 13-42 since 2017.
Holy cow.
And then you look at their division. Like, I think back to, like, the Giants, and I think, like, you know, I'm thinking still, like, Eli, Plaxico Burress. Maybe in that second, you know, that second run with who was even their best? Mario Manningham, I guess, was their best receiver. Now the Giants, you know, those Giants, Eagles, and Cowboys, like, you know, round robin would always be pretty close. And I feel like the Giants would do pretty well in those. But now the Giants have lost 15 straight to the Eagles and Cowboys.
Jeez.
They have lost 15 straight to their biggest rivals. Not a piece, obviously, combined, but still. They have only beaten the Eagles four times since 2008. They are 4-21. The Eagles own the Giants. Did you realize the Giants were the worst team in the league?
I did not
since
realize that.
Dave Gettleman.
Yeah. I guess I probably would have guessed the Jets if you would have, like, asked me, or Jets, Lions, maybe somewhere in there, but.
Ever since Odell stepped on that boat, right?
It's all been downhill.
Downhill from then.
It's all been downhill. Because that would be 2016, right?
Yeah, that was the year they made the playoffs.
Daniel Jones, bro, I see some athleticism. I see the talent. I really do. You make some good throws every now and then. Like I said, you are athletic. You're athletic enough to outrun a defense and get 80 yards down the field. But last night, he lost his 23rd fumble in 20 career games.
Jeez, that's almost impressive.
And then you add that, I guess he might not have lost all 23 of those fumbles, but that was his 23rd fumble. I don't know if he's lost all those. But that goes along with 19 interceptions. So that is, what, 42 times in 20 games you have either turned the ball over or put the ball on the ground to be turned over?
It's usually not how you win football games.
Not unless you can do on offense like what Patrick Mahomes does. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and even that would get you benched on a good team, but, like,
I mean, that's like Jameis last year.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's right behind Jameis, I think. Yeah, I think he has, like I said, 32, 33 turnovers. He's in second place behind Jameis.
Jameis still would get to, like, 500, though.
And he isn't still explosive. Yeah, he isn't explosive enough on offense to make you, like, say, oh, well, that's okay. Take the bad with the good. We're off and running in the White Claw Studios. Make that your official game day beverage this weekend. Pick you up some White Claw at your local package store, your grocery store. Get you a 6-pack, get you a 12-pack. Get multiple ones of them. Ditch the beer belly bloat, made pure, 8 delicious flavors. Try them all.
Before the game tomorrow.
Before the game tomorrow. It'll help you get through the game.
Yep.
A 3:30 kick for some reason. But please, please, please drink responsibly. I have to tell you that. All right, stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Does your company have a great website? Having an
college football this weekend gonna feel a little bit more like normal.
Yeah, Big Ten's back.
The Big Ten is back. And I was looking, you know what? I kind of missed it. I feel like there are a couple teams that bring something to the table. At one point, I was like, you know what? I just missed Ohio State. But then I was scrolling last night, and I was like, you know what? Michigan, Minnesota in primetime. You know what? I can do that. PJ Fleck versus Harbaugh.
Minnesota. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Although I will say I was thinking tomorrow, like, I'm going to just probably just watch UFC. I've decided I'm going to give them $60 and put that on the big TV and just kind of keep up with the other games.
Well, what time is the Minnesota-Michigan game?
That's at 7:30, so it'll be over by then. No, perfect. They're doing, Habib's got the juice, especially in the Middle East. Yeah. Like, this is basically the second most famous Muslim athlete in the world.
Yeah.
Behind Mo Salah from Liverpool. It's like Mo Salah, mm-hmm. then it's Habib. So, like, they're doing, you know, whenever the American headliners have been there on Fight Island, they've basically made them fight, like, at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Local time. That way, you know, here in the States, we can watch it. But for Habib, they're like, you know what? There are so many people across the globe in the Middle East, here in Abu Dhabi,
mm-hmm.
that really love him. So we're going to make him fight at 4 p.m. America time to give our people over here a better chance to watch it. So yeah, UFC is going to fire off like at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it starts at noon. Main card starts at 2.
The first fight I saw on check my bookie, but I'm pretty sure that like they have the first fight listed at like 11, 10 a.m.
They were advertising noon and main card at 2, so. I don't know,
but it says Joel Alvarez and Alexander Yakovlev or whatever fights at 11, 10 a.m. So there's two fights before noon. So like I don't know.
Okay.
If the times just messed up there or what, because like you said, I saw that cover starts at noon, but maybe that was just noon on ESPN2. On ESPN3, they'll go ahead and start the card. I don't know.
Okay.
But that's kind of where my attention is at for most of Saturday. Like I've said, Tennessee-Alabama, I got to be honest, man, I don't really want to watch any of it. Unless you tell me like right now that you're making a quarterback change. Do we really need to see anything? How do we feel? Okay, I know we've talked Tennessee football a couple of times. We'll look at next year's schedule. We've talked about the quarterback situation, the defensive line coach. But, like, we haven't talked about this game. Am I wrong in this, like, not having any enthusiasm? Hayden, how do you feel about it? Are you going to the game? Is this your student ticket?
Yeah.
So you are going?
Unfortunately.
You don't sound very excited about it.
Well, I mean, they set it up to where you have to buy it and order it a week and a half before the game.
Sure.
So I bought it last Wednesday.
Sure.
Before the Kentucky debacle.
Same as CBS was like, hey, let's put this on at 3:30.
So, I mean, it kind of feels stupid now after the Kentucky game, but...
You paid $10 for it,
It's only $10, yeah. So, might as well go have a good time.
It's not like you paid $100 to go watch Tennessee lose to Kentucky. Yeah. That would be really stupid.
Yeah, I don't know who would do that. I was
ridiculous.
Idiot right there. I don't know. Get the booze out, you know, maybe.
Oh, you're going to go boo?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I like to do that.
You're going to go boo.
If JG's starting, yes. Yes.
You're booing?
Yes. I did last week, too.
I didn't accomplish anything last week.
Hey, I started booing. JT Stroud came in. Then we booed his ass, too.
Yeah, it was sad on the TV broadcast. They're like, JT Stroud's in there showing the people cheering. And I'm just like, man, we're really cheering this guy coming in. Like, it's not like they're putting in Harrison Bailey.
I know.
Like, you know, like it's not like you've gotten your way and you've gotten the young stud coming in and maybe things are going to take off. Like, we've already seen JT Stroud. And then, like, you saw JT Stroud throw a really bad interception. And then they're like, okay, you get your ass on the bench, too.
It was just funny because, like, when they announced, like, Jarnicky came over the PA and he was like, hey, quarterback tonight, Jarrett Garantano. And everybody started booing. Then.
So everybody was booing before the game even started.
Oh, yeah, when they do the starting lineups,
of course they did.
So no wonder he played so badly.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't on the field yet, so they were still in the locker room.
He probably still heard it.
You definitely hear it.
There's like 25,000 people there. It ain't that loud.
Yeah, you could still hear
no
it.
Wonder he played so bad. The fans in the stands are already booing him before the game even started.
Well, after the after the first interception.
Why am I just now learning about this?
It was pretty loud. After the second interception, it was really loud. The boos were pretty loud. So then Stroud comes out, and they announced he's coming out, and everybody's cheering. And then he throws an interception, and then the boos come out for him.
Jeez. They don't know. Nobody knows what they want.
I won't say that they don't know what they want. I'll say like that.
Well, they know what they want, but they don't know who they want. They just don't know who that person is. It's, I guess, what the way to break that down. But
I think some of it was the play calling, too, like running a 3-yard pass to Jacob Warren on 3rd and 20.
I wasn't very excited about the play calling last week.
No, the play calling sucked. Now, I mean, I will say, like, you know, we talked to Austin on our power team breakdown, and he's just kind of like, you know, Chaney wasn't to blame. Like, there's a lot of times you have open receivers or something, and the quarterback's not making the right reads. So the play calling, you know, wasn't good. I don't know how much blame I'll give it. I think we ended up at, like, what, 25% for Chaney, 75% for quarterback play. But now I'm going to have to blame the fans for booing the quarterback before the game even started. Hmm. You know you have a head case at quarterback. What do you think the boos were going to do? This guy needs love and admiration.
No.
You've seen what happens the moment he has some adversity. We're way past that. He turns the ball over. And I mean, obviously we weren't way past that. We just got our ass beat by Kentucky.
I'm just tired of watching it, so I'm going to do whatever I want. If I pay $100 to sit in the front row of the upper deck to watch us get our ass beat by Kentucky, I'm going to do whatever I want.
Okay, well, question. And this isn't me picking on you because there are a lot of people in your situation, so don't take it personally. But you just said you're overwatching it, if I pay $100 to watch it. Like, those don't really add up to me. If you're overwatching why did you pay $100 to go sit in the front row? Did you not know he was going to start on Saturday? Because no one thought he was getting benched before Kentucky.
It's about the experience. I like going to the game. So, I mean, just close my eyes, I guess, when he's out there.
Well, I'm just saying, like you said, you can't stomach watching it, but you paid $100 to go watch it.
Well, last week just kind of sent me over the edge, to be honest.
So, like, it wasn't the beginning. But you, again, not picking on you because you weren't the only person booing, but you said you booed before the game.
I didn't boo before the game, but there was a lot of people booing before the game. I booed after the first interception and the second interception.
You could have booed after the fumble, honestly, because that was another chance of him going rogue. And, you know, I know that you have those reads sometimes. We'll let quarterbacks, like, hey, if you have a quick throw right off the line, throw it out there, get 5 yards that way. But it just never works simply with Tennessee. Like, any other quarterback would just complete that 5-yard pass, and, you know, you keep the chains moving or you keep ahead of the chains or whatever. And with us, we fumble. We have a running back hit our quarterback's elbow and fumble. That's how it went for us. Mm-hmm. I would have been fine with you booing at that point. After the first pick six, sure, boo all you want. I was just saying, to me, I don't know what the people going to the game that booed before the game were expecting. Like, it just seems kind of counterproductive to me.
It's going
to
be really bad tomorrow.
Oh, no, it is going to be really bad tomorrow. Mm-hmm. To the point where it'll be like, what game was it last year where we announced that JT Stroud was starting and he played like the first series?
South Carolina.
Okay.
Because I was in the stadium, man. I booed when Caritondo came out. I'm not going to lie. I did. It was worse last year before the game. Every time JG got announced as starter, it was loud.
Oh, no, I know. And, you know, there's 100,000 people there, or, you know, 80,000 people there, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's going to happen again next, you know, tomorrow, to the point where now I don't think Pruitt would announce that he is the starter. I would think you'll see somebody else, like, get the start. That way they don't get booed.
You think they're just going to...
That's what they did against South Carolina.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, Garantano came in pretty quickly.
We'll just put a question mark up on the Jumbotron. At quarterback, you'll see. First drive.
So am I wrong, like, in just, like, not being excited at all for this game? Like,
I'm not excited for the game.
I have zero interest for it right now. It feels like a foregone conclusion, which is really sad in year three. Especially for an Alabama team that you should be able to move the ball against. But, like, you just don't have anything on defense that's going to stop them. Like, that team is really, really talented on offense. And, like, Nick Saban figuring out, hey, the stuff I do on defense, a lot of 5-stars, it would be a lot easier just to do that on offense.
I could see us keeping it, like, semi close in the first half, but I think we're going to get killed in the second half. I think Alabama might be a little sleepwalking after Georgia last week.
You think they're going to sleepwalk after for a 3:30 game, though? Yeah. Like, I mean.
But after Tennessee got killed last week, I mean, you can't get up for Tennessee, I feel like, if you're Alabama, to be honest.
I don't know. I don't feel like Alabama ever really sleepwalks. Like, do they ever really sleepwalk? I mean, there's that one game a couple years ago they let Arkansas hang around. They had to come back and beat Arkansas, right? They beat them by like a touch, yeah, like by 1 point or something like that. That was like the closest I feel like to why you caught them napping.
I mean, maybe they were Ole sleeping Miss, against like Georgia Southern for like a half 1 year.
Sure. Oh, Citadel last year.
Yeah, Citadel for a minute. Yeah, yeah, but
it was like 10 to 10 at halftime.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they didn't look sharp against Tennessee last year, especially with Tua throwing that pick.
Yeah,
and then he got hurt, and then that obviously caused the game to be close because they weren't prepared to have Mac Jones.
Yet. Sure, but I still didn't feel like they came out flat though. Like they felt like they scored a touchdown like on the first drive, right? Didn't Judy take or one of the receivers have like a long play on the first like?
Yeah, I think they scored the first drive, and then
that pick six.
The second
back
drive
in
we had a pick
or the pick that got us down. Yeah, I don't think he went all the way, but that got us moving.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like Alabama comes out flat very often against conference opponents, which is a testament to Nick Saban, obviously. Because Nick Saban, still complimenting our quarterback situation. I got some guys that are athletic can make plays. Who? Where? If you see them on the roster, Saban, please tell Jeremy and Chaney how to use them. Although maybe the bulletin board material that Jeremy Pruitt gave Jim Chaney, maybe that'll help. And maybe we'll just have nothing but run plays and deep shots down the field because Pruitt likes his passes going down the field. Not east and west. He likes straight down the field. So maybe we'll just sprinkle in some bombs and some runs.
Did you see what Saban said yesterday about our quarterback situation?
Yeah, he said we got athletic guys who can make plays.
We say he expects Maurer to start, though.
He said he expects Maurer to play.
Okay, to play.
He said he expects both to see Maurer and Garantano, which is true. I mean, like that's what's going to happen.
I feel like if Maurer plays, Garantano is definitely going to play because he's going to get hurt.
I don't want to see Maurer on the field.
Maurer started last year's game against Alabama, didn't he?
Yeah, he made it about the first quarter, and that was it. Yeah. He got hurt again.
Murray threw a pick like on the first possession, for sure.
He's terrible.
I won't even say it. Maybe it might have been a rough in the passer call. He got drilled on. Guy gets hurt all the time. Okay.
Y'all are making me not want to watch the game even more right now.
Well,
holy cow.
I don't want to watch the game. Like I said, I'm getting my UFC fight, and I'll sit there and I'll watch it.
See, I was already out, and now I'm completely out.
The problem is the main event, I just said it was like at 4, and the game starts at 3:30, so.
I'm going to have to at least watch the first two drives. Tennessee.
Nope.
Well,
we're watching prelims.
Okay.
The
problem is I'll have to watch after the main event. I'll have to watch starting in second quarter.
Don't worry. We'll be down by 28. You can turn it off.
That's true. That's true. Good point. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I'm in that 745. Hope I can come scoop you up round 745. Slide around with my drop top up or down you down the ride. Look into my eyes and show me. We got some Big Ten football coming back at you. What other SEC games we got?
I'm sad. Rondale Moore's out this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's for Purdue.
I know, Purdue. I was going to watch Purdue, Iowa, you know.
Just cancel all the plans. Rondale Moore's out. Oh, man, my weekend is shot.
I know. Tanner Morgan and Rashad Bateman's all I got Saturday night.
Damn.
Isn't there only four SEC games this week?
Is there?
It's just the big bye week, plus they have
the COVID reschedule stuff.
COVID. I mean, it might be. It has to be a light weekend if they're, like I said, putting us at 3:30. Although, like I said, before the Kentucky game, people were kind of excited about this. Kentucky kind of zapped all your momentum, all your juice away.
There is only four games.
Jeez.
Not a great schedule either. I mean.
Head over to mybookie.ag. Let's see what we got. We got noon game, Auburn, Mississippi. Auburn 3.5-point favorites.
Seems too high.
I mean, I don't know, man. Ole Miss isn't very good.
How many games Auburn won? One?
Two.
Two? Well, really one.
I don't know. It feels to me like Auburn will just run all over them. I don't know. Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then South Carolina, LSU. Not a good slate.
Jeez.
Mybookie.ag. Use the promo code Knoxville if you want to get some college football action.
UFC it is.
UFC it is. You can also get some UFC action. Like I said, use the promo code Knoxville. A 100% deposit bonus. You bet, you win, you get paid at my bookie. Yeah. Yeah, college football, I'm out on that. We do get to see the Big Ten's plan come to fruition, though, right? They want Nebraska to have to walk the plank.
Yeah, pretty much.
After threatening to leave the conference, after talking about how they were going to go rogue and do their own thing, the Big Ten was like, okay, you want to do that? Huh, tough guys? Well, here you go. You get Ohio State week one on the road.
Throw them straight to the wolves.
What's the spread on that?
26.5.
Woo!
And I don't know who's taking Nebraska in that game. I'm not. I wouldn't take Nebraska.
After all this time waiting for this game, Ohio State's going to kill them.
Yeah, they're gonna blast them. It's not going to be close. Like, Adrian Martinez even just had to, like, fight to keep his starting job this year. Like,
Nebraska. He was fighting with a freshman, too, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember the guy's name. I didn't look too far into it. But, yeah, Adrian Martinez, I mean, he's been there forever now.
My man, that's the problem. He's got a little JG fatigue syndrome.
Yeah, pretty much, except he's athletic.
He's athletic, but he's not very good at quarterback. He's fine. I mean, he hasn't lived up to the hype. They probably thought they were getting a stud when Scott Frost got him, and it hasn't worked out.
Do we wish we would have gotten him or not?
I mean, you can do that with a whole list of quarterbacks. I've seen a lot of people start talking about Sam Howell from UNC because he wanted to come to Tennessee, apparently. But we didn't want him.
Wasn't Martinez committed to Tennessee?
He was. That's what under I thought. Bus Jones.
Yeah. So is he going to be a junior this year?
I think he's a senior. I don't know.
I don't
think he's going to be a junior.
I think he's a junior.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because
okay.
It was Pruitt's first year where Pruitt was like,
yeah.
Now we're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he started as a freshman, so it feels like he's been there forever. But, like, you haven't won any games with him. And at a certain point, a fan base gets tired of that.
Yeah. We've seen it.
it's weird because I don't think of college football as treating it in the same as the NFL, and that's kind of been our problem here in Knoxville, is, like, in the NFL, you draft your franchise quarterback, right? And then you're stuck with that franchise quarterback, most likely for at least 2 or 3 years. You don't necessarily bring in another franchise quarterback to compete with that franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
You bring in backups to complement that. And it seems like that's what Tennessee has done here, right? With Jarrett Garantano, we have treated him as if he is our franchise quarterback, and we have never found somebody to push him to take his spot. We haven't recruited there at that position well the first last 2 years. We haven't gone out and got a grad transfer or made a trade or brought in a free agent, if you will, if you want to make the NFL comparison.
Mm-hmm.
We have treated him like a franchise quarterback that we have to see what he has and give him every opportunity to succeed. College football is not supposed to be that, yet we have ran our program that way, which is why you are in year 5 of the Garantano experience, and it's the same exact thing as it was in year 1. Team Haven just silently shakes their head no. In disgust, just like, oh, what have we done?
Yeah.
I mean, should have known the Georgia Tech game when he started acting like that. It was going to be
like I said, he has been the topic of argument since then.
Yep.
And I guess that'd only be 4 years, but, you know, you get the picture.
Weren't people wanting to put him in 2016?
I mean,
when Dobbs couldn't throw
the
ball
at the end of the year,
yeah.
It was South Carolina, but people were mad at Dobbs at that point. Now I don't know if anybody was actually like actively wanting to bench him just because you could still make the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
but people were excited about how Nick and it wasn't even Garantano at that point; it was Dormady.
Yeah.
People wanted to see Dormady because he could pass the ball better. That was the narrative then. It's like, hey, he could pass better because Dobbs is inaccurate. When we get Dormady out here, this offense is going to look different. You even had people in 2017 before the year talking about how the 2017 offense would be better because now they got a passer back there. And then we saw Dormady pretty quickly. And then people wanted him benched for Garantano.
Where did he come from? He was a transfer, right?
Dormady?
No,
he was
from Texas.
Four-star from Texas.
And apparently, I always heard he lived in like a mansion.
Yeah, he was like Butch's godson.
Yeah.
Dating Butch's goddaughter. Engaged to
and
Butch's
it was
goddaughter.
Like,
and then like they were living a nice
like
life.
Like the high life, yeah. While he was a freshman in college.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Which maybe that's why he didn't work out hard and develop and become a good quarterback.
Yeah, we underappreciated Dobbs.
I mean,
everybody would take Dobbs right now in an instant.
Oh, for sure. like, I mean, for sure. Dobbs was underappreciated. I mean, but I wouldn't even say Dobbs is flawless either, but hell, he's the best we've had. I mean, he's compared to what we've had.
I think in college football, you take a mediocre passer and a decent runner for for somebody who's just an, middle of the road.
Well, to me, that's been like
bad at everything.
Well, to me, that's what's been so frustrating is like, Hayden, in college football, you do need quarterbacks who can throw. Hell, in the NFL, you need quarterbacks who can move right now. Name the pocket passers in the NFL that can't move.
Very few right now.
I mean, like, the ones that are there are, like, grandfathered in, like Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
Matt Stafford, I guess.
Matt Stafford and Rivers. Like, those guys are all grandfathered in. But, like, think of the young quarterbacks. Like, the only one who can't really move is Jared Goff. And he's the worst of the young quarterbacks.
And he's still sneaky, athletic with his mobility.
He's the worst of the ones, like, of all the young ones. Like, he's the least athletic, and he is also thought of probably the least favorably. Except, like, Daniel Jones. Well, I'd take Goff over Daniel Jones.
You take Goff over Wentz or not?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That is a good question.
I don't know. They're both so flawed. I don't feel like Goff's decision-making's flawed. I just feel like he's inaccurate sometimes.
I think if you put Wentz in McVay's system, he would have more success than Goff would.
That's probably accurate. Like, I think Wentz is more talented, but plus those bootlegs would be pretty dangerous with Wentz, who can move.
Yeah.
Much more mobile.
He had a good run last night, actually.
Who did? Wentz. Wentz is athletic. But, seriously, if you think about it, like, who are all the young quarterbacks? I mean, just this last draft class, Tua can move, Burrow can move, Herbert can move.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, it was who? Kyler?
Haskins, was that?
Haskins couldn't move, but you've already seen Haskins get benched. Like, Haskins couldn't move.
Yeah, I think people thought he was more athletic than he actually is.
Because he was black?
Probably, yeah. I mean,
can Foles,
same as Byron Leftwich.
It's just one of those things. Like, you assume he can run. Like,
he was kind of suffering from the Byron Leftwich syndrome. Yeah. Like, he's a black quarterback. He must be mobile. No, he's not at all.
It's one of those things. I mean, but yeah, no. Pocket passer.
Do we think Foles is grandfathered in too?
Yeah, Foles is just like a career backup that's, gotten in. Like, the Bears, trial with Mitch Trubisky. It's just like, you have to be able to throw at least somewhat accurate. Trubisky was a great college quarterback, though, for that reason. Like, he's the number one pick because he can move around. But, like, like you said, Foles can't move. Trubisky could move, but he couldn't throw. So I guess if you got two options, guy can move but can't throw versus guy can throw but can't move, you take the guy who can throw but can't move. But ideally, like, Chicago wants somebody who can do both.
I think I'd rather have somebody who can move in college, though, to be honest.
In college, yes, but in the NFL, no. No, in college, I'd take a better runner than passer.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Tebow. Tebow was thought of as the greatest college quarterback of our generation, and he was predominantly running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, hitting open receivers on, like, screens, slip passes, Percy Harvin, jet sweeps. Like, I mean, it was just like Tebow running is what made him elite. It wasn't his passing.
It's like Derek King at Miami this year. Like, he kind of just upgrades that offense just because, like, he's not an elite passer. But
right.
He's so athletic and can do everything else that it works out.
But, like, that evolution is going to continue because, I mean, just think of the top two quarterbacks in this upcoming draft, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys can throw, but both guys can run. And, like, make no mistake, you might see Trevor Lawrence and think he can't run, but Trevor Lawrence can run.
We've seen his big runs go.
Think back to him leaving Ohio State's defense in the dust.
And those are NFL guys.
Right.
And that won the game.
Yeah.
They got him started to win the game. I think that was, like, early in the first half, but it got the momentum swung back the other way, or the game, it settled Clemson down. It was a big play. Like, Trevor Lawrence left them in the dust. Like, he can move. Now, he might be more of a long stride guy and not going to be – you might not be running a lot of read options with him, but Clemson does.
Yeah, he's not going to be, like, elite quickness in the NFL. Just
but he can do exactly what
like
Daniel –
Kyler.
He can do what Daniel Jones did last night in terms of that read keeper and, like, hitting an open seam and running. He can do that.
And he won't fall over, I don't think.
So you see the evolution, and, like, it's happening on the NFL level, but it's been happening at the college level. The reason it happened at the NFL level is because it's been happening on the college level for the last 10 years. And now pretty much every big prospect can move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Andrew Luck. Compare Andrew Luck's athleticism to Peyton Manning's athleticism coming out, just decades apart.
Yeah.
Peyton could move a little bit, like, on bootlegs, but, I mean, like, he wasn't a runner. Like, one of my highlights, I think, of Andrew Luck is him, like, laying out a safety on a
interception. Oh, yeah, interception, in college? Yeah, that's one of my favorite plays ever.
And he did that a couple times in college, too, like, or in the NFL, too. Like, he could move. Like, since him, pretty much every prospect has been pretty athletic. That I can think of, unless I'm missing some. Like I said, Goff is the one that jumps out to me, and Haskins, although Haskins wasn't thought of as an elite prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here in college, Tennessee has said, nah, we're good. We're going to go with the guy who is quote-unquote dual threat that we know can't move. We're going to make offense harder on us. And that's been really frustrating because offense in college is pretty easy these days. You know what I mean? Like, if you get through an Alabama-Clemson game, you've held them to 40 points, you feel like you've got given yourself a chance. If you can hold them under 40 points. Let's say if you lock in. If I told you right now tomorrow, like, Alabama only scores 35 points, you'd probably say, you know what, lock that in.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is ridiculous, but it's true. Like, you'd say, oh, only 5 touchdowns? Cool, lock it in. Good job, defense. That's how easy college offense has become, yet Tennessee is still making it tough at the quarterback position. And I'm sorry, people, if you're listening and you're excited about the young quarterbacks on this roster, but I don't see that with any of them either.
Give me Jimmy Holiday.
That's really who I want to see. I mean, I guess it's stupid. It's not going to happen, but that's what I want to see.
You can't do worse than that, in my opinion. I mean,
I kind of want to see Maurer tomorrow.
You want to see Maurer tomorrow?
Jeez. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fine.
He runs the ball well. He just he forces the ball a little bit.
Yeah, a lot.
That's
of
fine.
It.
If you want to see Maurer over Garantano, I'm not going to argue with you because I would rather see Maurer too. But I want to warn everybody, and maybe this is going to be one of those. I hope it's one of those things we could put on a highlight reel and pop in on the a rejoin of me saying this. But look, Maurer is going to be one of those guys where you're excited to see him until you remember why you haven't seen him.
Yeah. He's not your savior.
And you see the 48% completion percentage, and you see the bad decisions.
Those red zone interceptions he likes to throw.
I mean, even that one possession he got in the ball game last year, it was bad pass after bad pass where, like, mm-hmm. It could have been intercepted, but we found our way down for a field goal, and you're like, oh, yeah, here we go. And then, like, you know what? You get back on the bench, son. You get back on the bench. You scored a field goal, but, like, just get your ass back on the bench because
you lucked into a field
goal. Yeah, you are on razor's edge here.
You have to wait one more year.
So I'm not blaming you, Hayden, for wanting to see Maurer because at this point I'm calling for Jimmy Holiday, a wide receiver who's never taken a snap. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to see something different and exciting. And of the four options you have, Maurer is the most athletic, although I don't think he has the athleticism that is going to make a difference.
I wouldn't be opposed to Holiday either. He's not taking one snap.
He's not playing. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not playing.
We can go the Lynn Bowden route, just run the ball every play.
Well, I mean, like, the coach had just beat your ass last week. He would have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
He would, he found a way to maximize his roster last year. He was looking and saying, you know what, we gotta find something to move this ball. What was his name?
Sawyer Smith.
Sawyer Smith. That's what I was gonna say. Mm-hmm. Sawyer Smith ain't cutting it. So here you go, Lynn Bowden. We're gonna take you. We're gonna take you from wide receiver and put you at quarterback, and make it happen. And he made it happen enough. Yeah. And they still won a bunch of games by Kentucky standards. So, like, you know, you talk about the evolution of the quarterback position, and you look and you're like, yeah, everyone can move at the next level for the most part, except the old geezers. In college, every big prospect. I mean, can Trey Lance move around, Cam?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to do the Dwayne Haskins thing where I was like, he's not Lance light. He's got to have some athleticism, but I haven't watched him
he's
play.
He's not like elite athleticism, but he's mobile.
I didn't want to make that same mistake, but I figured he could.
Didn't he have, like, a few rushing touchdowns in that one game?
I didn't watch that game. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Probably, but
he only had one passing, but, like, a few rushing, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I figured he had some athleticism, because, like I said, almost every quarterback has to have some at this point. Yet at Tennessee, we are going on 4 straight years of having a quarterback who can't move in the pocket. And everyone's hopeful quarterback of the future, Harrison Bailey, I don't look at him and see a guy that can move around and make plays for you either with your legs. So that's why I haven't been able to buy into that hype, just because
people think he can run too, because I saw someone's high school highlights of where he was, like, scramble around, but it's high school. Most kids on that field don't run below 5 second 40s.
Right.
Like,
yeah, I mean,
it's not comparable.
That's one of the reasons I don't watch high school film.
Yeah, it's not comparable at all.
It's one of the reasons I don't watch it, because you're just going to be playing in a completely different league.
Jeez, Trey Lance had 1,000 yards rushing in 2019.
Okay, so yeah, he can move around.
We got Caden Salter next year, though.
Well, I mean, that's why.
There we go.
I mean, that's one of the reasons I've been more excited about him.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's not as good of a passer. Like, I just think, like I said, you have to be able to move, and it's such an advantage to be able to move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Alabama maybe doesn't have to have it with Mac Jones, because I haven't seen him really run around.
Yeah, but I mean, you got elite everything else around you, it's okay.
And you have 2 straight years of, like, 6 NFL draft picks at wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they basically have had 6 NFL draft picks, right?
They
have
2 more first-rounders this year, and a couple of those other guys will go when they're eligible.
Right.
Like, yeah. No,
I mean, if you have nothing but 5 stars at the wide receiver position, or high 4 stars, or whatever, all Americans, all SEC caliber players, NFL caliber receivers, maybe you don't have to have the ability to move around a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if he can move around. I don't know. I haven't watched enough of him to know if he is athletic or not.
Yeah. Well, I think Devonta Smith could. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I think he could break the Alabama career touchdown record this weekend if he plays good.
Then I'm assuming he will.
I'm pretty sure Cooper has 31 career and he has 29. So if he has three touchdowns, he'll break it.
Well, really?
I think so.
I'll go ahead and take that bet.
It might be 31-28, but yeah, he's close.
I didn't realize he was so close. Maybe that's why he came back. He could have gone pro, right, and maybe been like a second-round pick?
Yeah, no, yeah, he still would have been a good draft pick. He'll be first round now this year, though, I think. I would think, at least. Let's see, career touchdowns.
I mean, watching their wide receivers run by our defensive backs is going to be pretty sad.
It's going to be wild.
I mean, I know they do it to everybody. They did to Alabama. They did it to Georgia the week before, so maybe we shouldn't be embarrassed about it. But, like, it's going to be a humbling experience. Because I thought coming into the year, like, our secondary is going to be so much better. I mean, that was the common take, all right? It was like, hey, our offensive line is going to be great, but I have a lot of confidence in our secondary, too. Just because Pruitt's coaching them. And so far, that secondary hasn't been very good. That's one of the more damning things about this team. What a depressing 25-minute conversation.
Devonta Smith has 27 career touchdowns.
Okay. And Cooper has 30.
14 last year. Jeez Louise.
I mean, I don't care. I mean, he's going to break it eventually. Like, he's going to
break
it
this year.
Whether it's this week or in a couple weeks, he's going to break it.
Well, I would hope he doesn't have 4 or 5 touchdowns this weekend. But
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised
wouldn't blow
if he had
my mind.
Three.
Yeah, three. Yeah. I think he had 2 or 3 last week, didn't he?
He had 2 last week. He had 11 catches for 167.
I mean, he's a beast. He's a beast. Their passing game is elite. Like. And I don't know if we can have enough pressure, create enough pressure to hurt them. Like, nope. The 21-point spread has been staring at me just because you're like, I don't see how Tennessee is going to consistently score with any quarterback.
Yeah. Crazy thing about we're talking about the mobile quarterbacks. After Mac Jones or whatever his name is gone to Bama, they got Bryce Young.
Is he a mover?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bryce Young's
he's the number one player in the country, I think.
He'll be a problem.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, like, you know, Nick Saban has gone that route. I mean, going back to, what was his name? Blake Sims?
Yeah, Blake Sims couldn't throw.
Blake Sims couldn't throw, but he can move some. And then Jalen Hurts, you know, he came along as a passer, but for the first part of his career, he was just kind of a runner that could hit open receivers. Then, of course, Tua had both. You know, they didn't do many design runs for him, but they were able to run when they had to. Mac Jones kind of just was a – Mac Jones probably was never going to start at Alabama if Tua doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Then he played well last year. Like, if it came down to 5-star freshman or Blake is he a freshman this year, right? He's there this year, right?
Yeah, Bryce
Young,
yeah.
Blake Sims that has never taken a college snap, maybe you go with the 5-star freshman. But
you mean Mac Jones?
Yeah. So, excuse me. Mac Jones did enough last year, at the end of last year, to say, like, okay, this guy can play. He deserves a chance to play.
Yep. And, of course, offense is still rolling so far this year. So,
but Nick Saban figured out you need an athletic quarterback. For some reason, we're going on, like I said, 4 straight years, staring down the barrel of maybe another 2 or 3.
Didn't Alabama have that 1 year with that Coker guy playing quarterback after Sims?
Was it? I don't know.
I'm just trying. I can't remember. I don't remember if that team was any good or not.
I'm sure it was still
pretty
good.
Well, they were good, but I don't know if they won the national championship that year or not.
That's how we judge whether or not they're good, which, I mean, you're not incorrect about that, but I'm just saying.
They went for a streak there. They won every other year.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Just thinking out loud. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Well, that was a fun preview of Alabama-Tennessee.
Jeez.
We'll kick it off with headlines. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.